Ryan Day named a starting quarterback on Thursday, but Jim Knowles also talked. It was just too much for us to handle in one video, so we're back on a Friday. Not quite a football Friday yet, but Andy Backstrom is still here to talk about it. Tim May, the 41-year vet, is still here to talk about it, and me, Spencer Holbrook. Like I said, guys, it was a packed day at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center yesterday. A lot to learn from Chip Kelly and Ryan Day about quarterbacks and offensive line and wide receivers and tight ends and all the like. And then Jim Knowles snuck into the press conference room. He talked for like 15 minutes, but there was just so much before that that happened that we couldn't get to the defense in the video. So we're going to talk about what we learned from Jim Knowles. Tim, I'm going to kick it over to you. What'd you learn from Jim Knowles yesterday?
Well, basically, notice how quickly I had an answer there for that one guy that has a problem with me hesitating. The thing that stood out was I asked him going into the scrimmage, are there still questions? Are there some questions that you want to get answered? And, you know, interesting, you had a good answer. I mean, depth at safety. I mean, we all know who the starting safeties are, Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom. That's as good a twosome. It may be the best twosome in the country. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but you can expound on that. But then, you know, depth at that position, he kind of mentioned Malik Hartford has come along and things like that. We've talked about some other guys in camp that have gotten some opportunities, like Jaden Bonsu and Jalen McClain, I think, are the two names that come to mind immediately. But he brought it up himself that depth at safety is not quite where he wants it to be, which is really funny because we've talked on this show many times, right, about the nickel position, which in Jim Knowles' mind, when he first showed up 3 years ago, was a third safety on the field. Now, you know, basically it's going to be a third cornerback on the field, as Andy has written about before. And we'll maybe get a little more in depth on that too, about who really looks the part now and who's really coming on now that he's healthy again. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting answer. But otherwise, let's face it, you know, even at linebacker, we're still not clear who is going to be maybe – it looks like Sonny Styles and Cody Simon, if they put two linebackers on the field at the same time, but there's competition going on there. And so that'll be something to keep your eye on. But the fact he brought up safety was interesting. I don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah. I mean, Tim, you about covered everything there. Andy, you got anything else?
Yeah. I've got a can of paint and I'm trying to paint my garage this afternoon. So maybe I'll go cover that.
Well, I asked Jim Knowles about Malik Hartford because he factors into that safety discussion there. And we didn't see Malik Hartford in the spring. He was sidelined by injury, limited in those spring practices. But he's back in the summer in training camp. And Jim Knowles says the key for Malik Hartford in year two is confidence. It kind of felt like that was the key in year one as well. Remember that start he had against Youngstown State? It really didn't go the way they had planned. Yanked after the first defensive series. Then got an opportunity to start later in the year and was significantly better against Michigan State. So I think there's growth from Malik Hartford, and certainly hit the ground running when he got to Ohio State, but they really need him to step up in year two, because if there's one injury there at the safety position, it feels like he's the next guy up. And again, with the season that could be as long as 16 games, I feel like it's a broken record at this point with us saying those same words. But the fact of the matter is, one guy goes down, it feels like Malik Hartford's the next guy up. So I think they need him to be confident and ready to go going into 2024.
There are two names of second-year Buckeyes, because let's face it, guys, like the starting lineup here is all but solidified. Obviously, there's one linebacker spot, but I think we're all in the agreement. We're all adults here. Sonny Styles is going to start at will. And so there's really not a single starting spot that's up for grabs here. So now you're just working on building depth like we're talking about. Andy, you talk about it with Malik Hartford. Tim, you talk about it at just the safety position in general. I've got my eye on two second-year guys who just keep coming up in conversations. Ryan Day was asked yesterday who was the defensive, you know, who were champions from this scrimmage on Saturday. Well, he said the defensive player of the game was Arville Reese, a guy who was talked about with very high praise from James Laurinaitis last week. And then Jim Knowles is asked about defensive tackle depth. I've had my eye on a second-year guy all offseason in Jason Moore. But for the second straight time we've talked to Jim Knowles, he brings up a different second-year guy as like the next up, a guy who Jim Knowles is very, very excited about, is Caden McDonald. So, yeah, Arville Reese and Caden McDonald are kind of the headliners for me of what we learned from Jim Knowles. He's not going to tell us where they're going to line up Caleb Downs and how they're going to use him. He's not going to tell us how they're going to use the four down front if they've got three linebackers in the game and who comes off the field. Those are just things he's not going to tell us. So we've got to kind of read between the lines here. I was reading between the lines when he was speaking, and I think that the two biggest takeaways are Arvell Reese and that emergence, and I'm writing about that a little bit at lettermonroe.com on Friday, and then Caden McDonald, who is one of those guys who, if a coach brings him up unprovoked, you better listen because that means that he's doing something special.
Yeah, and he's been, you know, his name has come up a few times, as you know, in preseason camp. Came up at the end of the year last year, obviously, but, you know, he brought up Hiro Kanu a little bit too, and some of those other guys, because you got to have depth in the middle of that line, man. The two ties can't carry that whole load, and we all know how much better Tyleek Williams is when he's fresh as opposed to like carrying that load. But that goes for any defensive tackle at any level of football. Ty Hamilton, they feel really great about that guy, but you're right, the depth in the middle of the defense is really what this little show is all about. When you go from the two defensive tackle spots to the two linebacker spots to the two safety spots, the core of that defense is maybe I wouldn't call them big question marks, but big quandaries. Let's put it that way, on where the depth is in that regard and who's going to play the most. Because let's face it, Arvell Reese, he's come up too much from James Laurinaitis and from other coaches and other players for him not to be figuring heavily in James Laurinaitis' thoughts and Jim Knowles' thoughts at that Mike linebacker spot. And as we called him last week, when we were talking about that, Mike linebacker is so important now from a being that what I call the central processing unit of the defense, the CPU. And especially now that players are going to offensive players, quarterbacks are going to have helmet microphones, or not microphones, but speakers, where they're going to be getting signals via the airwaves instead of like hand signals. It was funny. I don't know what y'all thought, but I thought Jim Knowles kind of left it hanging on whether they might not even use that on the defensive side, which they're allowed to do. It was an interesting little moment there in the press conference. And, you know, of course you hardly get a chance to ask people follow-ups, but I would think they're going to use all the technology available. But it's really funny if the offense gets the signal that they want just before the 15-second mark, which is going to be the deadline, and then your radio is going to be shut off. Same way with the defense. But, you know, whatever the defense deploys, the offense deploys, and they may have just gotten it, and then you had no chance to countermatch it defensively with your call. So that's going to be interesting to watch as that develops early in this year, especially.
Andy?
Yeah, I think they're going to use it. And again, that Mike linebacker spot seems to be the place where it will be used. So Cody Simon is probably the guy week one that's going to be using that helmet technology for the defense. The question is, you know, it's going to be learning about the offense and how they're using it, and then going from there and basing how you want to use it as a defense, you know, going on in the following weeks. But I have confidence that Jim Knowles and this defense will figure things out pretty quickly. Remember last year's season opener, they faced a triple option. No one expected that from Indiana, and they adjusted just like that. And yeah, I don't think the helmet technology will be an issue for this defense. Certainly,
that was his biggest story of that game, is how lackluster Kyle McCord looked. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think the way the defense jumped out right away and adjusted was a telltale sign for what the defense would be all season, which was stepping up to the plate when it needed to, picking up the offense when the offense wasn't scoring points. And we saw that throughout the entire season, even into the Cotton Bowl, which was super forgettable for all of the reasons we don't need to talk about. But the defense, again, was delivering, honestly, a shutout for a long time in that game.
Until it didn't.
But I think for me, guys, are we not talking enough about the defensive ends? I mean, we talked a lot about Jack Swear this offseason, a little bit about JT Tuimoloau, but Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson have kind of flown under the radar. I think we've talked a little bit more about Mitch Melton maybe having a breakout year, but it feels like Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson get forgotten about a little bit. You know, I know the rotation wasn't kind to them last year. We saw a ton of Jack Swear, a ton of JT Tuimoloau, but they're going to need both those third-year defensive ends in Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry to step up, and they haven't been asked about a lot this offseason, but we've seen them in practice. They certainly look good. Kenyatta Jackson, of course, had that little scare in training camp that we did see, but he seems to be totally fine from everything they're talking about. So are those guys going to break out, and are we not paying attention too much to the defensive ends? It feels like maybe they're getting overlooked a little bit.
Can I jump in here a little bit real quick, Spence?
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, you think about the defensive line, the four guys you just named. I'm talking about, you know, the ones we haven't talked much about, and the two we have, I'm talking about the two starter. We were talking about the same guys last year, you know, and the new kid on the block, because he wasn't available last year, is Mitchell Melton. And they talk about him a lot, about what a camp he's had, what a great camp he's had, what a really good spring he's had. I think you agree with me, don't you, Spencer? And then Edrick Houston, it's going to be interesting to see how they play him and stuff. But there's a guy, you know, when we've gotten to watch him, he looks the part and plays the part. It may not know exactly what he's supposed to be doing yet from play to play, but I like him a lot. But yeah, I think there's a reason why, because we gushed a lot about those two backup dudes this time a year ago, and then they really didn't get to play significant roles. Agreed, Spence?
I do agree, Tim. I'm going to go back to your helmet comps point, though, for a second, because, you know, there are times where you've got a directional Michigan school on the schedule. You want a you want to put the disguise on, maybe have some glasses that record, a hat that goes with it. But you just can't get that sideline access because it's really hard to get. And you're kind of puzzled at how people can get it in the first place. Yeah. So maybe you have to sit in A-deck instead at Ohio Stadium. I think if you're going to sit in A-deck for that Western Michigan game, you know, a directional Michigan school where you're trying to scout the opponents, even though there's some helmet comms going on now, you're going to want to go to GameTime.co and the GameTime app. You know, my family loves getting tickets for Ohio State games. There are people who would probably love to have tickets, you know, very close to the Ohio State sidelines for Ohio State games moving forward, to maybe see what the signals all mean in those last 15 seconds. And if you're going to do that, you're going to make memories at the college football field. You're going to get NCAA penalties levied against your favorite school. You might as well do it with the Game Time app. I can't get
there. I'm with you.
I'm sorry, guys.
You know what? It'd be interesting how many were acquired through the Game Time app. But go ahead now.
It's the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. You can filter out incredible deals with great seats on the new Game Time picks. They've got this thing where if you find a ticket in the same section and same row for less on a different ticketing app, Game Time will credit you 110% the difference. My favorite app feature is that you can filter out whatever you'd like. Right now, you can go to the Game Time app, get $20 off your first purchase when you use the code ON3. That's ON3, GameTime.co, ON3. Use that promo code, get $20 off your first purchase. Hey, there's tickets for this Western Michigan game that are going as low as $39 a piece. Look, you can't even get into an Ohio State practice for less than $50. Now you can go to an Ohio State football game for $39. Oh, wait, knock $20 off your first purchase using the code ON3 on the Game Time app or GameTime.co. All of a sudden, you're in the door for $19. I don't know if there's a better deal in the sport. It's not just college football either. You're trying to go watch the Guards. You're trying to go watch the Reds. You're trying to go to a Browns game, a Bengals game this season, a Steelers game, maybe even a Boston College game. Why don't you go to the Game Time app or GameTime.co, use that code ON3, get $20 off your first purchase. And if you're trying to scout the Buckeyes, you're going to have to do it in the last 15 seconds because they've got this helmet comms. Back to your guys' point. I like these defensive ends. We're not going to talk about them because they just kind of go through everything. It's not that they're going through the motions, but like they can't hit the quarterbacks right now. They can't tackle running backs right now. They're just kind of – they're not really doing as much inside drill as these defensive tackles. So it's easier to talk about everyone else. Like the defensive ends just get their work done, though. And I think that's what I like the most about them. Even Caden Curry, even Kenyatta Jackson. These are veterans now. You know, Mitchell Melton. It's not that they even need, you know, all that work that they used to get. They don't need it. They're just getting their work done. They're going through what they need to get done. And they're ready for August 31st. And I think that's a good sign that they're not making headlines, because if Ryan Day was up there calling out defensive ends like he was some of these tight ends or some of these wide receivers to step up, then I think we'd have issues. The fact that we aren't hearing about them, I think that's a great thing for this defense.
Yeah, it's almost like their purpose, this preseason camp, and it hadn't been this simplistic, but I'm being a smart aleck a little bit, is to get the offensive tackles not just the starters, but the backups on Ohio State, where they really needed to develop some depth. It's almost like they played a role of getting those guys ready for what's to come or what might be to come. Although I do think Ohio State's offensive tackles are getting to practice against four, maybe even five, six of the best defensive ends in college football this year. That's not hyperbole. Just watch Mitchell Melton do his thing, for example. So I think that's been a benefit for the Ohio State offensive line, especially the tackles, to have those one-on-ones, to have those scheme adjustments, et cetera, to what Ohio State's defensive group is doing in front of them.
Andy?
Well, guys, I know it's not a bold prediction video, but it is a Friday, and I feel like maybe one of these three guys, whether it's Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, or Mitchell Melton, could end up leading this team in sacks. Like, CJ Hicks wants to do it, and maybe he can. You know, who knows? He hasn't recorded a sack yet in his 2 years at Ohio State, but should play a bigger role this year. But who's to say that one of these reserve defensive ends or backup defensive ends can't do it either? You don't need to be on the field for 800 snaps to lead the team in sacks. You just need to make the most of the snaps that you do get. And, you know, as you said, Spencer, this is a third-year group for Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry. Like, they've been around the block. This was supposed to be their year. They were supposed to be the starters this year to break out. They might still break out, but not as starters. And I think that, like, that's really where I was going with this thing is that, again, yeah, probably good that we're not talking about them so much because it means that they haven't done anything wrong or they haven't gotten hurt. But maybe we should talk about them more just in the sense that they could have a breakout. And I think that maybe they are flying under the radar. Just as, like, on the offense, Carnell Tate, you know, I saw people labeling him as Ohio State's secret weapon because the media from a national scale focuses on Emeka Ibuka as a senior and the freshman and Jeremiah Smith. But no one really talks about Carnell Tate on the national level. Maybe for this defense, it's guys like Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry on the defensive end position that don't get the same media attention as JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer, but maybe they have a breakout this year. I don't know.
Here's the thing. If this offense plays the way we think it's going to play, it's that old classic example of NFL teams where some teams build up the offense and then grab three or four guys in free agency to stack their defense because their idea is they're going to be leading games, which changes the way the other team has to play you offensively. If Ohio State's offense lives up to its billing, I'm expecting big numbers from this offense. I don't know which way I'm stacking the sandbags one way or the other in that regard, but it does look like a lot of teams are going to be trying to come from behind against this Ohio State football team, which, like you said, it could be part and parcel to Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson and Mitchell Melton, who's also a journeyman, has been there for a while, getting in there and getting after it. And like you said, accumulating some stats.
Yeah, it's definitely worth considering. Other than that, guys, I'm not trying to be, funny here or facetious.
Facetious? Like, is that the word you're looking for? Facetious?
Yeah. There's just not much else to learn from Jim Knowles right now. He's very confident in this defense. He knows it's going to be good. Ryan Day and Chip Kelly both said that the offense, you know, is going against the best defense in college football. So, you know, it's hard sometimes to get a leg up on those guys. We didn't really talk about corner because the corners are really good. The last thing maybe is that Lorenzo Styles is back and he's apparently the backup nickel, but I still believe that if they were to have to put somebody on the field instead of Jermaine Matthews right now, or instead of Jordan Hancock right now, it would be Jermaine Matthews. So what does backup nickel mean if you're still not going to go on the field second in that position? I don't know. So maybe there's still some questions.
Well, it means something because in a 4-2-5 and the three of those five being corners, that's fairly significant. I see where you're going. It's really interesting to see if anything happens at safety. They've always got that little button or ripcord they can pull and roll Sonny Styles back in there. You understand what I'm saying? I think they, you know, although they got to keep him at linebacker, I'm talking about if something catastrophic happens, you could always maybe roll Sonny Styles back into that room or that area. I think y'all agree with that, right? So that might, because the rise of Arvell Reese, for example, is a big deal. The more consistent play by CJ Hicks, as Jim Knowles even alluded to a little bit yesterday, is interesting because they feel, and you know, of course, Gabe Powers, and then they just feel a little bit better, I think, about the depth at linebacker in that linebacker room than they did even 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think I caught that drift, didn't you guys?
Yeah. Andy, any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
could you move the other Styles brother back to safety if you're in a pinch? Like maybe they move Lorenzo back there if they need more depth at the position. I don't know. I mean, I think Lorenzo is kind of in a make or break year defensively. This is the second year after making the position switch from wide receiver. You know, you got some great talent in the defensive back room that's just gotten to campus and coming to campus next year. It feels like for him, you know, talking to him last week, there's a sense of urgency to make something happen this year. Maybe he can be a depth piece for those positions of need, whether it's at nickel or safety, where Jim Knowles is still like clearly a little bit nervous about the situation there. So, you know, maybe you would trust that, you know, someone who has played a lot of football, whether offensively or, you know, a little bit defensively, over a freshman in Jalen McClain or a second year player in Malik Hartford, who's still working on his confidence. I don't know. Maybe you go with those typical safeties, but maybe Lorenzo's a guy that you can also factor in there. That's kind of one of my last thoughts for the video today, just because I think they like Lorenzo Styles. Like, I think they want to be able to play him in some way as a depth piece.
Hey, can I throw one thing in there though, that just resonates whenever we talk about this defense anymore, is how old these players are as a group of the upper echelon guys. This is remarkable. I mean, in this modern age, to have a guy with the longevity of a Denzel Burke, and then the two defensive ends we've talked about, you know, Sawyer and Tui Moloau. You know, Cody Simon's been there for a while. Even Sonny Styles, this is his third year. It's hard, you know, it's remarkable, not just in the starters that are being projected, but in the depth aspect of the things. How many older guys are bubbling up, right? I mean, Mitchell Melton's been there, you know, a long time. Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson been there for a long time. So that's what really stands out to me about this older defense. Like you were talking about earlier, Andy, the way they were able to adjust on the fly last year in Indiana when Indiana tried to snooker them, you know, and it helped, I think, Indiana, the fact that their safety coach then is Ohio State safety coach now, you know, got them ready to maybe, hey, pull a fast one on them. Well, it didn't really work. But, you know, there's so much about this defense that is interesting from a talent standpoint, but also from an experience standpoint, which is like Jim Knowles is probably sitting there kind of like walking on hot coals right now thinking, you know what, I kind of got the guys, man. We got to deliver, just like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, he does have to deliver. He is planning on delivering, and we kind of assume that they will deliver. A lot more coverage coming to Letterman Row. We will deliver the coverage over there at lettermanrow.com. Andy Backstrom in the middle of your screen, Tim May on the other side, and then there's me, Spencer Holbrook. A lot coming at lettermanrow.com. We've got interviews next week leading into the week after that, which is Akron week, game week, officially week one. Next week is week zero. Week zero means that we will break down a lot of Ohio State. We will also make our college football playoff picks like we did last year. I believe Andy was almost perfect in his college football playoff picks last year. That means that if he makes playoff picks, they will be ironclad this year. Of course, Tim, I don't know how great you did last year on the picks. That's all right. I did terribly on the picks last year because I'm an idiot. So if you like more of this coverage,
I don't even remember them. I mean, it's kind of like if you make a bad bet at in Vegas. You just tear that ticket up and walk off, right?
I mean, so Tim had Texas. I know that.
Yeah.
Tim had Texas.
Yeah, I had Texas. I was listening to Urban Meyer. I should have listened to my heart.
Tim, I make bad picks on my phone every day. So
my heart, by the way, would not have been Michigan, but I really felt good about Michael Penix Jr. last year. But you know, sometimes you get he who hesitates is lost.
Go ahead. Well, that's a show for next week because we're going to make playoff picks on this YouTube channel next week. Until then, go to lettermanrow.com, get the full coverage from Andy, from Tim, and myself. We'll see you guys over there.